I'm sure we can all look back to the days when the lockdown was in full swing and we were stuck in our homes, not able to get out, not able to come to church, not able to hardly do our shopping or communicate with our friends and our neighbours. And it was a difficult time for everybody on that occasion. But I suppose most of us thankfully got through it. And we can just look back and thank God that we don't have to go through it again. It was an unusual 3 months at the time when Moses was born. Just as during the lockdown, when babies were born, maybe those who would have wanted to see the baby for the first time or visit in the hospital wouldn't have been able to do that. And such was the case with Moses, but not for the same reasons at all. Why was Moses and his family where they were in Egypt at that particular time? Because you remember, the children of Israel had come down to live in Egypt during a time of crisis when Joseph had invited them down with the permission of the Pharaoh, and the nation of Israel was starting to multiply. It was multiplying greatly over the years, and we're told that the Pharaoh, who now occupied the throne at that particular time, didn't really know Joseph personally, possibly would have heard certain things about him, but generally his knowledge of the people of Israel was not all that clear. And with the children of Israel multiplying significantly, Pharaoh became concerned about the internal security of his country. Because now there was a nation starting to grow up within the nation. And he was frightened that there would be some sort of a rebellion from the people of Israel against the internal situation in Egypt. And so he passed an edict basically to say that when a male child was born, that the midwives were to make sure that the child didn't survive. But many of the Hebrew midwives loved and trusted God, and they didn't take any heed of what Pharaoh told them. And so children were born, and they had to be hidden. And one of these was Moses. And we're told that for the first 3 months, he was hidden in his home before eventually he was taken and placed at the edge of the River Nile. Amram and Jochebed were his parents, and they loved Moses very much. But they were living, as we all know, in the middle of a pagan society that was exposed to heathen deities. And the practice in Egypt was that there were a few people who feared God, and of course they were within the Israelite family. And so for a few minutes this morning, I want us to look together at this story that unfolded, that we read this morning, about Moses and in the situation that he faced at that particular time. And I want us to look together at what we can see in the life of his parents. And the first thing we can say about Moses' parents is this, that they had faith. We read that by faith, when he was born, he was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. We're told in Scripture that Moses' parents were people who trusted God. They had a relationship with God that enabled them to have that peace within their hearts, that they didn't necessarily need to be afraid of the king's edict. The excitement, of course, of showing the wee boy to neighbours and friends and other members of the family was not available at that particular time because of the circumstances. And when Moses was born, he had to be hidden, and nobody was to really know about his existence. And verse 2 of Exodus 2, speaking of Moses' mother, it simply says that she hid him for 3 months. Aram and Jochebed were of the tribe of Levi. They themselves were born into a tribe of Israel, but a tribe that was surrounded at that particular time with heathen deities and the religious practices of Egypt. And many people around them in the particular culture in which they were living at that particular time, we see, would not have in any way followed the God of Amram and Jochebed. But many years later, You remember after Moses eventually grew up and he started to lead the children of Israel, and eventually he was succeeded by Joshua, who led them into the promised land. We read that Joshua said at that particular time, "Fear the Lord and put away the gods of your fathers that you worshipped in Egypt." So there were some of the children of Israel were, as it were, embracing the gods of Egypt. But we see that Moses' parents didn't do that. But we see that in the context of paganism, oh, at every turn around them, they exercised faith when they saw that their little son was born. And with hindsight, we know that Moses was destined to be a great leader. Of course, his parents didn't know that at that particular time. And we see that they trusted God. And it was Moses who, remember, was given eventually the Ten Commandments in order to communicate them to the people of Israel. But the faith of his parents played a significant role in the history of Israel at that particular time. Moses' parents were light in the middle of darkness. And today, all of us who are the recipients of the truth of the gospel, we are called to be light in the darkness around us. We live in an increasingly secular society where the distinctions between right and wrong, good and evil, are becoming increasingly blurred. And as Christians, we are, to use a phrase, dance to a different tune and we march to a different beat. Moses' parents had a mindset that was totally and completely different. It was a mindset that the Hebrew midwives embraced in the midst of the pressure that they were under, a mindset that we want to be different. We need to be different, and we need to do what is right in the eyes of God. And today, I think it is true to say that moral integrity, as was the case in the situation in Egypt with the Hebrew people at that particular time, moral integrity is essential to Christian distinctiveness, which in turn is essential if we want to be involved in Christian mission. And integrity certainly means that we must make a distinction between right and wrong, but we must not make a distinction between our public and our private life, between the secular and the sacred, between the church and the workplace, that we must, as it were, be consistent in all that we do in that situation. And so we can say, first of all, that Moses' parents had faith. They had a trust in God that no matter what the circumstances, that God was with them, that God would help them, that he would never leave them or forsake them. But the second thing we notice about Moses' parents was that they had courage. If you go over to the New Testament and to what's called the heroes of faith outlined in Hebrews 11, we read that they were not afraid of the king's edict. You know, they're a great deal to be frightened about. But at that particular moment, they weren't afraid. And at any moment, what could have happened was that the king could have sent soldiers to bang on the doors of their houses and demand to rampage in and see what was going on, to see if there were any children born, and snatch them away and throw them into the Nile. But we read that they were not afraid. And for the first 3 months of Moses' life, he was in the home. He was in a lockdown situation, and in many cases, I'm sure it was really a nightmare to make sure that the little baby didn't make any noise, that he would have been nursed night and day, he would have been looked after in such a way that there was no way that he would act in any way that would create a situation where people around knew even of his existence. And faith and courage were the hallmarks of his parents' life. And surely it's true to say, as we think about this particular story, that as Christians, we need to have a boldness and a courage to stand against the waves of materialism and secularism and all the things that are normal within society today that are against what we believe to be right as believers. No longer it appears that Christians are allowed to hold distinctive views. It appears that we must and are expected to fit in to society's norms today. And when we don't fit into society's norms, what happens? What is said of us? That we're narrow-minded, that we're unloving, that we're uncaring, that we're intolerant, when in effect the intolerance is from those who don't allow Christians to hold their own particular views, whatever they may be, on certain subjects. Yes, as Christians we must respond to these challenges in a way that we must not allow the, as it were, as J.B. Phillips said in his translation of the Bible, we must not allow the world to squeeze us into its mould, but we must be courageous enough to stand up for what we know to be right. And that was the case in the life of Moses' parents. They had faith that God would not leave them or forsake them in this situation. They had courage to do what they believed to be right at that particular time to make sure that their baby was safe. But the third thing, and I want to emphasize it a little more, was they had a strategy. They had a very strange strategy, but at the time it appeared that what they were going to do was completely inconceivable. But they were going to take this peaceful little baby, this lovely little baby that they had, and they were going to take him to the very place, the very mouth of death, where Pharaoh was making sure that the boys born into the Israelite family would be drowned. And between the lines of Scripture, there appears to be a strategy so unique that it could only be conceived in the mind of Moses' parents as a result of God guiding them. Who would ever have thought of doing what they did? To take their wee boy right down to the very Nile itself. And of course, the idea was from our reading that at the end of the day, they hoped that somebody would come and see the situation. They possibly didn't know exactly what was going to happen, but what did the reading tell us? That Pharaoh's daughter came down on a daily basis to bathe, and she saw the baby. She went and she went over to the baby. She was taken by the baby. She wanted to see that the baby was safe. And at that particular time, Moses' sister Miriam was in the background, and she suddenly appeared, and she said, "Well, do you want me to take the baby and find somebody to look after it, after him for you?" And of course, the rest is history. Where Moses was taken from the banks of the Nile, he was given back to his mother. And over the next 5 years, she brought him up. And she brought him up in a way that he was able to understand from his earliest days who he was, where he had come from, and what was expected of him. And we see that the plan worked out in such a way that his mother, as I say, looked after him, and the strategy that they had employed was a good one, and it worked. Do you ever think yourself of employing a strategy in respect of bringing up the children? Or do you ever think within the church here, do we have a good strategy in respect of influencing children and young people? What was it Jesus said to his disciples when he was about to return to heaven? He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Start where you are. Go into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." That was a strategy. The strategy was, there's no point in you, the disciples, starting to try and go to the ends of the earth at this particular time. That's not possible. But start where you are, in the situation in which you find yourself in Jerusalem, and allow the influence of the gospel to percolate out from the borders of Jerusalem to these other towns and villages. And eventually, of course, when it came to the time of the day of Pentecost, there were people in Jerusalem at that time from all over the known world, and that was a strategy that God had at that particular time, that when the Holy Spirit came and people responded to the gospel, and then they went back to wherever they came from, and they took the good news of the gospel into those particular areas. And I wonder, have you got a strategy? Do you pray for your children? Do you encourage them in coming along to the things of God and to the church and to the various organizations here, where they will continue to be under the influence of the Word of God? Do you understand that within the family, God wants you to be the, as it were, the springboard from which the scriptures are taught, and people are respond to the gospel. And we read that in Hebrews 11 and 24 that by faith, when he was grown up, he, that's Moses, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing to be ill-treated with the people of God rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Here was Moses once he did grow up. He had this choice to make. Am I going to remain in Egypt? Am I going to remain in the luxury and bask in all the riches that I'm experiencing? Or am I going to identify with my people, the children of Israel? And because of the strategy that had been employed by his family at the beginning, because they had inculcated into his thinking as a young child those things that were wholesome and right and proper, then when the time came for him to make that decision, under God he made the right decision. And of course, as a result of that, Moses became the leader of the people of Israel. He led them out of bondage into the promised land, or to the borders of the promised land, and then, as we've said, Joshua took over. But there was a strategy right from the moment of his birth, conceived in the heart of God, to make sure that God's son eventually would be born through the family line of Israel. And his parents, Amram and Jacobed, were part of that significant strategy. And of course, when we think back even over this week, when you think back to St. Patrick's Day, and we think of Patrick coming to Ireland, there was a strategy there on the heart of God that he would come as a missionary to these islands, and there he would start and he would introduce the people of this land to God and to the things of God. Here in Le Comfort, what is your strategy for reaching the family and the community with the gospel? Surely that strategy should be to pray, to come along to the times of prayer, which is so important, because God often uses our prayers to open the windows of heaven, to pour out his blessing upon situations. And he wants us to pray. He wants us to be involved in the life and work of the church. Very soon, you'll be getting a new minister. And sometimes when a new minister comes to a congregation, it's a time for people to restart again. Maybe for some reason or other, you've drifted even during a fairly lengthy vacancy. Maybe the lockdown, that was another thing that has created a situation in many Christians' lives where they've sort of stood back for a period of time, and when they were standing back after the lockdown, they never really got back into where they once were. And that strategy of assisting and helping and encouraging in the church is so vital and so important. Have you got faith that God can answer prayer, that God will work, that he will move in this congregation? And have you the courage to move forward with one another and with your new minister? And have you the courage to think through a strategy? How will we best reach the community around us? What can we do? What new things can we consider in order at the end of the day that God will open the windows of heaven? But of course, we can only do that when first and foremostly we ask ourselves the question, have we responded to the gospel? Are we part of the family of God? Do we know his salvation in his heart, in our hearts? Have we got to that point in our lives where we say, look, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling? Have we come to that point where we understand that salvation is by grace, God's grace in Jesus Christ, rather than what we do? And have we responded to the love of God as seen on the cross of Christ so long ago? And as we do that, and as we exercise faith, and as we step out into the community with courage, then do we also individually and collectively have a strategy to see others won for the Lord Jesus Christ? Let us pray.